From Springfield, this is State Week in Review, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
You know we've got a mess on our hands. We've got a financial crisis, but we're gonna get through it. We're going to restructure the government.
Down here, it's the art of the possible. And you can only get 60 and 30 on certain things. And when you can't get 60 and you can't get 30, you move along.
We don't have a balanced budget from the governor. And he's saying he has some other agendas that don't relate to the budget. In the meantime, somebody's got to go forward with a budget. So that's what we're trying to do.
If they do that, the governor will manage it. And that will hurt the very constituents they're talking about wanting to help. So it's very incongruous. I think it's very cynical. They need to get to the table and have a serious discussion about reforms.
I'm simply offering an opportunity for the voters of Illinois to vote on a constitutional amendment that would provide revenue for local school districts.
I would suggest that this is not a millionaire's tax, but rather a migration impetus, because the people this speaker and this legislation seeks to tax, these people have the ability to leave.
It's late May, it's Illinois, lots of politics, maybe a little bit of policy thrown in. That's the Illinois state capitol at this time of year, and we'll be talking about the legislative session and what lawmakers are expected to do as they return from the Memorial Day holiday on Memorial Day afternoon. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Charlie Wheeler, Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield, is on our panel, as is Brian Mackey of Illinois Issues and WUIS. At our State House Bureau, Amanda Venicky of WUIS and Illinois Public Radio, and our guest this week, John O'Connor of the Associated Press. John, welcome to the show.
A pleasure, Bill.
And as we are on this Memorial Day weekend, when we are recording the show, the legislature is still in late morning on a Friday. They'll leave town for a couple of days and be back Monday. A lot of verbiage around the State House this week. What the heck do we have going on? And I guess I will start from that question everybody always starts with. What's up with the budget?
It appears that Democrats are going their own on the budget. They say they were forced to come to this because there's a deadline rapidly approaching, May 31st. It's supposed to all be done. And there hasn't been a lot of talks because the governor was focused on his turnaround agenda. Democrats, it seems, are looking to pass what's known as a maintenance budget, as in maintaining the current year's spending, for the most part at least, expected to have additional cuts in many areas, just nowhere near as drastic as had been proposed by Bruce Rauner. And a little bit of extra spending is what I've heard going to schools. What's notable in this is that there aren't really discussions right now about any additional revenue. While you hear many Democrats clamoring for Illinois to do something, raise taxes, whatever, so that they don't need to make cuts, they say that won't happen without Republican votes. It has to be a bipartisan effort. So really what that results in would be sending the governor and, frankly, out of balance budget. Democrats don't like that term. They'd fight that, but call it like it is. The plan would be to leave it there therefore to Governor Bruce Rauner to perhaps manage. Maybe he would veto it outright and slam Democrats for doing this job. It would put the ball in Rauner's court.
Well, it sounds like they would be sending him a sham budget. And then, as you mentioned, they'll either have him make the difficult cuts or just throw it back on their lap. Doesn't sound like it's really the way to get anything done on either side.
There are limited options, I guess. The other way that the Democrats have handled things in the past few years is to give the governor, but for the past 12 years he has been a Democratic governor, lump sums to delegate the money as he chooses. Democrats don't want to do that with a Republican governor, and they don't want to be seen as the ones cutting services. So if they give the governor a budget that includes the cuts that he's asking for, they're playing into his hands. If they give him a budget that is not balanced, the governor can spend the summer criticizing them. But there aren't many other choices. They can also what we're waiting for is the revenue. They may propose revenue to cover that.
Are the governor and the leaders talking? Are there conversations taking place in back channels and things of that nature?
You know, there were some meetings early in the week. Everybody's pretty tight-lipped about how much more is going on, but I think it was really pretty early in the week, and other than that, it's been mostly left to staff. Really, it is stagnation in this question of what's the priority. Democrats are putting the priority on the budget. Their members, by and large, are freaking out about these cuts, don't like it at all. And also the Democratic leader saying, hey, we need a budget by May 31st. This is what we're sent here to do. It's the deadline. We are going to meet it, by golly. Look at us. We're being responsible. We're getting our work done. Rauner, in this op-ed that came out in Springfield State Journal Register newspaper, and as well as Republicans, say, no, you can't go to the budget until you focus on what they call structural reforms, all of these changes that they say will help make Illinois a better place to live, it'll function better later on, business is more competitive, and then they can have this sort of revenue discussion. It's this big back and forth. You know, Democrats then say, hey, all these items on the turnaround agenda, term limits, for example, what's that going to do to solve Illinois' budget issues? That's an outside score. Republicans, and further, we're still waiting, as of this taping, for the bills to actually be introduced finally Friday, with about, you know, what, 10 days to go until session is supposed to end. Rauner actually filing some aspects of this much-talked-about turnaround agenda, supposedly, again, as of this taping, haven't actually been done. So Democrats saying, hey, what do you mean? You're blaming us for not going forward on this. You haven't even introduced the bills. Republicans, on the other hand, saying that this is the only way that things are going to happen. Rauner has tied it all together. It's this grand bargain notion that his agenda has long-term consequences, and that's what he thinks needs to happen after so many years of Democrats being in control and running the state into the ground.
Well, you can understand, because this is his biggest point of leverage, right? I mean, he has proposed an agenda that seems pretty far out of the mainstream of what Illinois has done in the past. It's pretty far from what Democrats want to do. It's designed to give businesses a lot of things they've wanted for years, and it's designed to really weaken the power of labor unions, which is a key funding source for the Democratic Party. So, of course, Democrats aren't going to go along with this. And you can imagine that from the governor's perspective, if he sort of gives in on the budget and gives them, you know, lets them leave town, they don't have, you know, then they haven't passed his agenda. This is really his key pressure point that he feels like he can pressure them. He, you know, earlier this year, he did make some cuts to autism funding, things like that, although he did relent from those. So, you know, that sort of leaves open the possibility. Is he willing to make these hard cuts in the summer, or is he, you know, would that be too much political heat on him?
Interesting that you know, it seems like it'd be very politically risky, and there's risk in cutting services. But I wonder what is colloquially known as the Good Friday Massacre, the budget cuts that Governor Rauner made when he still wasn't getting enough reductions to balance the current year's budget. He cut $26 million more. He took some pretty drastic cuts there, and I wonder if he was showing the Democrats then, look, I'm willing to do this. There were some pretty sensitive cuts, you know, constituencies that would have been hurt there.
Go ahead, Brian.
I was just saying they were sensitive constituencies, and they're loud ones. They come and, you know, they testified and they protested at the Capitol. But if he does it over the summer, there aren't necessarily going to be as many hearings unless the Democrats decide to, you know, kind of put on a roadshow and go around the state getting people to testify. But, you know,
I don't think is out of the question.
Definitely not. But I think from the governor's perspective is, yes, if you cut the autism program, yes, that does affect hundreds, thousands, I don't know the number of families around the state, but he's thinking that there are millions of taxpayers who don't, you know, that he campaigned on, that he was not going to raise their taxes. And I think that that's what he is, you know, that's where his main concern lies.
Well, so everybody's still trying to figure out where he stands. I mean, how much is he going to push it? There have been reports that if things don't get resolved by May 31st, bets are off the table and Rauner is going to dig in even further on his agenda, kind of take some of the areas where he has said he would compromise and put them back on the table instead of taking it off. The Good Friday Massacre, does that show his willingness to cut despite the fact that there'll be an uproar? Or does the fact that some of that was reversed, you saw his team really try and say, hey, this is just a one-time deal because we got extra revenue. It's not that we're giving in. Or does it show that when there's a lot of heat, he is going to give in? It's all kind of one big question here. And again, the turnaround, whereas we focused a lot on the partisan kind of bickering right now and where Democrats are against it, there are a whole lot of Republicans who don't, who presumably want to vote for these changes either, but they have now this Republican governor who has already handed out every member of the, every Republican in the General Assembly checks, though supposedly some legislators refused them, but he's handing out these big checks, so they're faced with either upset, say, unions in a lot of these areas where downstate workers have tons of unionized members as constituents, or do they tick off the Republican governor who could run an opponent against them come primary time? I mean, that's all got to be figured into all of these choices.
I was going to ask Charlie. I mean, this is one of the, I've been watching this for 10 years now. You've been here a little bit longer than that. Sorry. this seems like one of the most, this seems like one of the most politically complicated, as Amanda was talking about. There's so many moving pieces and constituencies to worry about, and Republicans are kind of caught between, a lot of them have union members in their districts, and then a governor who's pressuring them from the other side. And there just seems like so many moving parts this spring. I don't know, you know, I'm trying to think back if it's been this complicated since I've been watching, and I can't think of a time.
No, I don't think it's been this complicated in my experience either, and it's because there's never really been a governor who has publicly put forward this notion of I'll slash and burn and I'll destroy everything and I don't really care if I don't get my way. I think it's particularly tough for Republican lawmakers because Rauner appears to be perfectly willing to destroy these human service programs. Well, guess what? It's not just Democratic districts that have constituents whose kids have autism, or where there are developmentally disabled people living, or whose schools need help. I mean, it's pretty much statewide. And it's not just Democratic districts where there are unions. The teachers' unions are in every district in the state of Illinois, every school district and every legislative district. So for the Republicans, it's particularly difficult to go the slash and burn route because the governor has an ideological agenda that's really not related to the state budget at all. But you're correct, that's his leverage. And so he's going to hold everything hostage until he gets his way on all this other stuff. Now, he's apparently, from what I've read and what you guys were saying, he's backed off on some. We're not going to have right-to-work legislation introduced, apparently. And I think on some of the other areas, there's room to compromise. But you have to be, what would you say, willing to compromise. And as kind of a point of information, should nothing happen, some of the very things that Rauner wants to do away with are going to occur. By law, the mandated pension contribution will be made. It doesn't matter if the legislature appropriates one penny. The law requires the comptroller and the treasurer to make that payment. By law, the money that goes to the local governments as their share of the income tax will be taken out and distributed, unless Rauner tells the people at the Department of Revenue, ignore the law and don't send local governments their checks, which he may do based on what he did with the fair share. But, I mean, it is very complicated. And again, in my mind, it goes back to, here's a guy who comes from an area where he's used to getting his way, where he's used to walking over people. People bow down and do whatever he wants, and now he's in a situation where he's not the king.
Now, are you talking about the governor or Madigan there? Just kidding.
I'm talking about the governor. And even Madigan controls one chamber of the legislature. So the House can't do things on their own. And even in the House, Madigan doesn't control things absolutely. If you look at the vote on the so-called millionaire's tax, a proposed constitutional amendment, that would require 71 votes. Madigan, for all of his vaunted power, was able to get 68 votes.
Well, he might not have wanted that passed, though. as, or cared enough to
twist people, those arms yes. hard. Yeah,
right.
I mean,
but
it was
there,
more of
but
a symbolic vote.
But there are still, I've seen comments. Aha, Madigan gets thwarted. Madigan doesn't get his way on the bill. So
here's the other thing about that has, that's going the way for Bruce Rauner, as he said in this op-ed in the Journal Register yesterday. I'm the new guy in town, and he really is. I sense, and maybe I'm all wet, but I sense Speaker Michael Madigan, mm-hmm. a Chicago Democrat, being much more careful, much more cautious this year, and not, you know, and making, you know, waiting, keeping his powder dry, waiting, not making the same kind of moves. And what you see is, for the past 12 years, we've had Democratic governors. When we've had Republican governors before, they were George Ryan, who was in the legislature, who was the Speaker of the House right before Madigan took over. We had Jim Edgar, who came out of the legislature. Madigan knew these people. They were known quantities. I really get the sense that his people this year are still waiting to see what Rauner is capable of. And when Charlie says he's a slash and burn kind of guy, it comes down to a game of chicken. Here, Mike Madigan really is not certain about this unknown quantity.
It's really this big question: is Rauner going to stick to his guns? How much does he really believe, not only in what he's proposed, but that it can happen? And how much is he willing to give? How much from the very onset was this a negotiation where he put out a ton, knowing that some of it wasn't going to go, but by, you know, starting from a really far point, hoping to reach some sort of middle ground? That's a central question.
Yeah, and
that
I mean,
we don't still have an answer to.
No, we don't, and I think we don't. You know, this I've been thinking a lot about the parallels, right? That we think those of us in the media, we always like to think, well, who's this remind us of? What do we look back in history here? I think that, you know, the governor has clearly been spending a lot of time courting legislators, having them over, not just Republicans, Democrats as well, members of the Black Caucus, and some of those meetings have become contentious, and I don't know that it's doing much good. And we saw this in Washington, where President Obama was sort of, faulted for not trying to reach out. It didn't really do him any good, and now we're left with gridlock in Washington. And I think we have to wonder if here in Illinois, if the governor is not, willing to kind of back off this kind of very staunch position he's taken, very, very conservative agenda that he's put forth, you know, we could have gridlock. But, you know, like we've said, you do have to pass a budget at some point here.
But does it really matter if that budget is passed by the deadline of May 31, since the budget really doesn't take effect until July? I mean, it matters who.
No, but after this, dynamics change. Right.
You say, like, he could go back to a stronger demand on certain issues or back to the drawing board in a way.
Well, it's theoretically possible right now, although very unlikely, that the Democrats could pass a veto-proof budget. I mean, on paper, at least, they have supermajorities. Of course, there are a lot of Democrats, or at least some number of Democrats, who refuse to vote for any sort of tax increase. So it's not – that is highly unlikely to happen. But after that May 31st deadline, you really would need – you know, I think the idea is you're going to need more Republican buy-in because the Democrats are not going to want to go their own way on this.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, after May 31st, you need an extraordinary majority for any bill to become effective immediately. So after May 31st, they could pass a budget with only 60 Democrats in the House, 30 Democrats in the Senate. Assuming Rauner were to sign it, it would take effect next June 1st. And so we'd have 11 months of the fiscal year.
Which is a little late.
Yeah. So they're going to need, if they go past May 31st, as a practical matter, they're going to need Republican votes as well.
Well, to what?
And the real pressure point, in my mind, probably occurs about the second week or so in July, whenever the first payrolls are supposed to be sent for the first pay period in the new fiscal year. That's when the difficulties might ensue. And probably the next big pressure point would be sometime in early August to mid-August, when the school aid payments are supposed to go out. And if there's no budget and there's no money going out to the schools, we would have chaos because a lot of schools would not be able to open.
What advantage is there to the Democrats passing a budget – and throwing it to the governor, and the governor vetoing it, and Democrats overriding a veto in a budget that probably is not balanced and is probably way out of whack.
I think as a practical matter, the Democrats do not have the votes to override in the House. I think Representative Jack Franks from McHenry County is very unlikely to vote to override the governor's veto of a budget. I don't believe he's voted for a budget, whatever.
I don't know if ever. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure there would be an override, but just they would send him the budget, and that way it would be, hey, Democrats, we did our job. Where were you, Rauner? And foist it on him to, again, make the cuts or leave Illinois without a budget because he vetoed it outright. And I want to point out that concurrently, the Rauner administration is negotiating a new deal with AFSCME, or trying to at the very least. That contract expires, so it's another pressure point. And Doug Finke of the SJR had an article this week where he'd, you know, gotten a hold of it. And Rauner is asking for some deep reductions, basically asking for a salary freeze from AFSCME members and getting rid of what are known as step increases, basically where you get like automatic raises for certain positions and such, less vacation, holiday time, all of that. So that's part of the budget as well, and could throughout the summer, who knows where these negotiations will go, but it appears if not well yet. And where is that going to leave state employees?
I think it's also worth mentioning here that Governor Rauner has in the past toyed with the idea of a shutdown. There was a video clip that a teachers union circulated last year where he was talking to the Tazewell County Republican Party and said, invoked Ronald Reagan's firing of all the air traffic controllers back in 1981. And he said, we may have to shut things down for a while. That's what we're going to do. So, I mean, he certainly seems committed to this position of really trying to break or at least severely weaken the power of government unions here in Illinois.
It's not unusual for us to be at this particular point in May and looking at something that looks pretty empty in terms of filling a vessel that would be a budget. Is this one of those things you think will fall together in the coming week, or what are you anticipating? Not a true prediction, but what do you see out there on the horizon? And we'll start at the State House.
I am one who has always firmly believed, for the most part, at least in the last 15 years, that these things tend to get wrapped up on May 31st. But I go back to this game of chicken. If the governor, he's about to introduce, apparently, his agenda in the form of Republican bills today, and it's the first sign that he's put forward. But the one reason he's doing this is because his working groups that he set up with legislators and his staff, he says the Democrats have abandoned those. So my point being that it's a game of chicken, and it depends on who blinks first. And I'm less encouraged than I was in previous weeks that will be resolved by May 31st, that we will go beyond that date. And it will come down to who blinks first.
Yeah, John, I was going to say, you referenced, I think, earlier the governor's op-ed in the State Journal Register, and he talked about if we have to do extra session, which I presume to mean, and that's not a term that's generally used here in Springfield, but a special session. And that, has reporters all over the state, I'm sure, eager to dust off their Blagojevich comparisons, because that's exactly what Governor Blagojevich did.
Legislators are already using it.
Okay, well, there you go. So he has, the governor called people back. We had these endless summer sessions where, eventually lawmakers stopped showing up, and the ones who lived closest to the Capitol would just come gavel it in, gavel it out. I can't imagine that Governor Rauner's advisors would say that that's a good path to go down and a good comparison to make. But, at that point, what options will we have, and what options will he see that he has?
That's recent history. In the days when the legislature went until June 30th, it regularly would go several weeks into July during the Jim Thompson days. And Charlie, of course, was around during those days. And I don't think they were seen as quite as futile summer sessions back then. There were still negotiations and working groups and, you know, progress being made, albeit slowly. The ones that you referenced from 2004 and 2007 were really showboating by Governor Blagojevich, I believe, and the legislature just wasn't playing along.
But Democrats are ticked because it's taken until now to get Rauner's proposals put before them. They say, okay, fine, you know, you came out with a speech in February, but this is what we were supposed to do all session long, was negotiate on these, and working groups took too late. Republicans say, hey, no, we tried to do this. It's not like you need a bill in order to have talks. And so there's all this back and forth still. Is it that they're in their corners now and posturing behind closed doors and publicly, but they're going to come together in the end because it's better for both Democrats and for Rauner to get her done by May 31st instead of having this extended summer session where everybody really maybe looks bad? Or does Rauner have enough money that, and he said that he would put it in to not just races, but kind of a public campaign? Does he make this a crusade that goes into the summer and Democrats go their own as well? And do they almost want, are they pushing for a summer session?
I would say, from my experience, having watched this over a number of years, back in the day when I was an active reporter, the session would run overtime, but it wouldn't run, I think, John, I don't recall it running weeks into July, but it would typically
be a couple of days during the Jim Edgar one.
Well, Jim Edgar's first term, it ran 19 days overtime, and it was because Edgar was holding out for tax caps, and the Democrats didn't want to give them to him until they modified the proposals, and Edgar got tax caps for the collar counties where property taxes had risen dramatically, but the city of Chicago and the county of Cook were not part of that original legislation. And so that was the compromise that was worked out. But most of the time, it would be they'd be here a day or two longer, and it was more a matter of moving all the paperwork, because back in the day, everything was on paper. It wasn't all digital, obviously. And so even after they reached their agreement, it took time to prepare the physical bills. It took time to get things printed. It took time for them to be considered. But once the deal was cut, everybody knew, we all agreed this is going to pass. And there was an understanding with the comptroller's office that the governor is not going to veto something below what would be needed to pay the first couple of weeks of expenses. And so things moved smoothly. But that was with governors like Jim Thompson and Jim Edgar and George Ryan. With Dan Walker, the legislature just ignored him, much as the legislature did with Pat Quinn, and as the legislature basically did with Rod Blagojevich after the first year. If you recall, his second year in office, the lawmakers made him sign memorandums of understanding, in essence saying that, I've given you my word, but I know you don't trust me, so I'll put it in writing.
We're going to leave it with some unanswered questions this week. Certainly it'll be a busy week in the final week of May. Maybe we'll have some more solid answers this time next week. That's our time. Thanks to John O'Connor of the Associated Press for joining us. You can get a podcast of this show by going to WUIS.org. Production assistance for our program today provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Bill Wheelhouse.
You've been listening to State Week in Review, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week in Review is produced in the state capitol by public radio station WUIS. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.